Thanks, Peter. Good morning. Those are great verses. Wow. Life is fleeting. And especially if you're walking a tightrope, it can be fleeting. I saw a guy who was interviewed who was walking across a big spanse on a tightrope. And he was blindfolded and it was going to be windy. And he said, well, no big deal. I'll just grab onto the wire if I have to and wait for help. So maybe you're feeling that way, like you're hanging from the wire, not just tightrope walking. But we're going to talk about handling life well today. Last week we talked about crisis or opportunity. This is kind of part two, kind of ties in. We talked about how crisis is a turning point in your life, and that crisis and opportunity can mean the same thing. So if you're having a crisis, you think, this is an opportunity to do better, to change something, to draw closer to God. Lots of different things that could, that opportunity could be. Proverbs 19:21, we talked about last week, many are the plans in a person's heart. We have lots of plans. We're planning what we're going to do this afternoon, maybe while we're sitting here supposed to be listening to me. You're planning, what am I going to do at noon? What am I going to do at 2 o'clock? Or you're planning the week ahead and work. Many are your plans. You can have a lot of plans. But the end of the verse says, it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So don't get caught up in making too many plans, outside of His will especially. So we talked about Joseph last week. Who remembers all the crises that Joseph went through? Nobody, okay. Hated, he was hated by his brothers, he was thrown into a pit, he was sold into slavery. And then he was sent to prison. Now, none of you have gone through all four of those things, right? He had a tough life, and God used him. Joseph, through all of that, he understood his purpose, and he kept his priorities in order. And he moved forward, and God used him to save the whole country of Egypt from the famine. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. If you're walking a tightrope, you forget what's behind because you're focused on what's ahead. And that's how our life can be. If we're handling it well, we forget what's behind. We made mistakes, we're moving forward with God, and we're allowing Him to show us our purpose and keep our priorities in order. Today, handling life well. I believe that God desires for us to handle life well. Who disagrees with that? Okay, good. We all are in agreement. It works backwards. See, if I have you raise your hand, not everybody raises their hand. But obviously, we all agree that God wants us to handle life well. And I agree. Like Genesis 1:1 talks about, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all have heard that verse, right? But it goes on and it talks about creation and the 7 days and finally rested on the 7th day. What did He do over and over and over and over and over? He repeated the phrase, and you can find it in verses 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25. And God saw that it was good. He saw what He had created, and He saw it was good over and over again. He sees. He's a God who watches. And I think He enjoys watching us live life, especially when we're handling life well, when we're able to reach out to Him, to grab hold of His purpose and priorities, and live life well. He placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and He told Adam to work the garden, and then he gave one rule, just one rule. You think they could make it through the day without disobeying the one rule? Don't eat of the forbidden fruit. But they did, and they were separated from God spiritually. They died spiritually. God came back and said, "Where are you, Adam?" Because he had been separated. Light from darkness. God cannot have fellowship with darkness. And so He's looking for Adam and Eve. Where are you? He's a God who sees. He's a God who watches. He interacts. He loved them, but he came down, and he was now separated from Adam and Eve because of sin. How about you? Are you choosing to live life well? Or are you disobeying one rule that is so hard for you to get past? Are you struggling with life in one area? Are you falling off the tightrope or hanging on, waiting for help? Does God come down and say, where are you? Have you been separated from him? Or are you restored to him spiritually through salvation? The only way to have communication with God is to be like him. You need to be made whole again, made holy, because Jesus died so that we could be reunited spiritually with God. That is our avenue. Where are you? God is calling out. He desires to have you involved in his life. I think he wants to watch us. He wants to see what we're doing and take enjoyment in it. That's how I see God. Are you living with purpose and priorities in order and handling life well? Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Be happy about life. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That's handling life well. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's handling life well. Not just Sunday morning when we have joys and concerns here, but every hour of the day, you have things happen in your life that you can call out to God and say, God, help me with this, or thank you that this happened. Pray without ceasing. That's how you do it. You live a life well. You're in communication with God, and you're interacting. He's watching. He sees you, but he needs you to take a step to be able to interact with him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We can't understand this peace. If there's one thing that you want to grab hold of in life, I think it should be peace. Well, if you're saved already, if you have God's grace and mercy and salvation, peace is what most of us are looking for in life. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you're handling life well, he can give you this peace that we can't even understand it, let alone explain it. It's a peace that only God can give us, and that only he can understand fully, which transcends our understanding. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the salvation that you offer to us. Lord, help us to grab hold of that so that we can also grab hold of the peace that you are willing to offer us. Help us to handle life well. Lord, as we look into your word and your understanding of life, help us to grab hold of that and move forward and help us to walk the tightrope so that we can be with you at the end, Lord. You say that the path is narrow, leading to heaven. Lord, help us to stay on that path. Help us to choose to be wise. Help us to move away from sin. Help us to draw closer to you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in 1989, who was around in 1989? There was a movie that came out, and it had a phrase in there, carpe diem. Remember that? Carpe diem. What does it mean? Seize the day. Okay. I know my girls know that because when they were young, and maybe some of the boys, but we homeschooled our kids. And they would get up, and sometimes they'd come dragging down the stairs, you know. And I would tell them, carpe diem, seize the day. Because it's important. God wants us to grab hold of the day, to handle life well. He wants us to grab hold of what He gives us. And it kind of worked, but I'm going to tell you guys, carpe diem, seize the day, handle life well. Go from here desiring to do better, desiring to seize the day and move forward with God. Live life well. Are you doing that? Another verse I want to read, Philippians 3, 7, starts off this way. But whatever is to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from God and is by faith. There's a lot there, but it's really good. Number one, whatever is profit to me before Christ. I thought of it as profit, but now it's loss. It's rubbish. That's a change of mindset, a change of perspective. It helps us to handle life well if we see true priorities in life. Do you have a new priority order? Are you handling life well or handling life better? What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He sounds happy. He's really happy. He has Christ Jesus as his Lord. How can you handle life well if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You don't have a good purpose. Your priorities get all mixed up. It's hard to move forward on the tightrope, let alone many roads that are before you in the world. It's hard to make good choices. I have lost all things. Yippee, he says. I've lost all things. They were rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him. He's gained Christ. He's gained salvation, and He's going to be found in Him on Judgment Day. He's going to be associated and saved because of Christ. You know, a couple of years ago, I was at a funeral, and it was very sad. And I didn't even know the guy. But it was sad because of what I heard. I had never heard anybody say these words. At the beginning of the service, the minister said, "Well, we know he's saved and in heaven because he was sprinkled as an infant." That's a lie. It's not in God's word. It's not a bad thing to be sprinkled as an infant because maybe it cleaned the infant off a little bit. But it didn't save him. It's not God's word. And that's man's idea. And the reason I mention it is because some of us were taught that. And if you were taught that and you still believe that, grab your Bible, show me the verse. Show me where God says you can be sprinkled and have salvation. It's not in the Bible. Man thought up that idea, that teaching. And Satan rejoices. Because some people are going to hell thinking they're saved. God sees. He watches. He's not pleased with some of the things that happen on earth. And I think that's one of them. Man has been deceived by Satan, and they've shared this teaching. And it's a shame, and they're going to be held accountable. You can disagree with me, but you're wrong. Because God's word says you have to believe and receive to get to heaven. Some things that we make a priority are rubbish. If we're not standing on God's word, if we're not moving forward in life, standing on solid ground. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. All things are useful. But we have to have them in context. Because if you pull God's word out of context, you could be deceiving yourself. For instance, in Genesis 3:3, the serpent says, "You must not touch it or you will die." That's a lie. The serpent told Eve a lie. If you pull it out of context, you can say, well, she wasn't supposed to touch the tree or she was going to die. But that's not in context. God's word is completely true. It's God-breathed and useful for us. But we have to keep it in context. Years ago, when my children were maybe 12, 10, 8, 5, and 2, something like that, we would play a game called Foursquare. Who's played Foursquare? I know my kids have. Okay, come on. None of you guys? Some of you. Okay, good. Foursquare, it's a fun game, especially for that age, and the parents, they can win. So it's good. And there was many of us, so the ones that weren't on the four that were on the squares would sit on the bench and wait their turn. And when somebody would get out, they'd lose their spot, they'd walk over to the bench and the next person come in. But if they walked over there with a bad attitude, I would call them back and I would tell them, try that again, and they would leave the court saying, I still get to go to heaven, with a smiley face. I still get to go to heaven. And it changed their attitude and it refocused their priorities. And they realized it wasn't so bad to lose that game when I have to go sit on the bench. And the same thing happened after the pony loss a couple weeks ago. And there were a lot of tears and the guys were feeling bad. And I grabbed my son and I told him, you still get to go to heaven. You still get to go to heaven. Probably because I didn't know what else to say. But it cheered him up. And it worked. So you can use that. I give you permission to use that. Call it to God when you have a crisis, when you're feeling like crying, when you're struggling, or you feel like you're falling off the tightrope. Call it to God. Change your focus. Change your priorities. One day, years ago, I was called into work. I don't know why I have all these sad stories today. I guess that's what crisis is about. But my boss, my supervisor, he said, sorry, we have to let you go. Well, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I cried. I did cry. And I had plans. I had made plans. I had a house that was going to be built. My job, I thought, was secure. Baby Jesse was on the way. And all of a sudden, my plans collapsed. But God had a purpose. He knew my plans. He knew what my actual plans would be. He knew what purpose I had. And it wasn't where I thought it was. And I'm so thankful. I wasn't thankful that day during the crisis opportunity. I wasn't thankful. But we need to see past the crisis. We need to see as God sees. There's opportunity ahead. It turned out to be a good thing. I got to meet all of you guys. I probably wouldn't have met many of you, maybe just five kids. But it was a good thing. Are you having a crisis? Are you losing a job or having struggles in life, financial problems or sickness? Are you looking to God? Are you looking past your struggle? Are you desiring to see what purpose and plans He has for you? Like Joseph. You know, I thought I had it bad, but Joseph had it way worse. He had bad after bad after bad, and he stayed the course. He kept his focus. Many are the plans in a person's heart. Like mine, I had plans. I had expectations, and it all fell apart like a house of cards. But the Lord's purpose prevails. It was a turning point for me, for my family. Have you had a crisis in your life? Is it a turning point? Are you looking at it as an opportunity and say, hey, God, what do you have for me? What's in store? I think there's some ways that we can help to see a crisis as an opportunity. And I've written down a few. The first one is believe that our Heavenly Father rules over everything. In Psalm, it says that His throne is in heaven and His kingdom rules over all. If we understand that God rules over all, it'll help us to see past this fleeting life that we're in. As Peter read, there was a lot there in those first verses. Let me grab that. How fleeting is my life? Each man's life is but a breath. He hustles about, but only in vain. That's because we're making plans apart from God. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. There's not much to a mist. Who's seen a mist lately and it just... psh, that's it. Our life on earth is fleeting. Know that our Heavenly Father rules over everything. Number two, accept that the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. It's hard for us to know what God is thinking because His ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes we try to figure it out and we're frustrated. We don't understand what His ways are or what He's thinking. Just be mindful that His ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Number three, refuse to make quick judgments in the midst of a crisis. Take time to pray. Seek God. Like I should have done when I was having a crisis and I lost my job. God, what do you have in store? I could have been excited and said, I know you have something better for me. But I didn't. And I wish I would have. It would have been a better sermon. But I still arrived here. I stayed the course and I tried to get my priorities back in order, my purpose, focus, like a tightrope, and say, God, what is in store? What do you have for me? And as He revealed that, what a blessing. Isaiah 30 talks about how we shouldn't make quick judgments. Seek God in prayer. Number four, focus on God, your Heavenly Father, instead of the crisis. If you're going through trouble, say, God, focus on God. What's going on here? Please help me understand what's going on. He knows. He can tell you. But only if you seek His wisdom. Number five, submit yourself to God's will. Psalm 3 talks about trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's what we usually do. We lean on our understanding to try to figure out what's going on in the crisis. But we need to trust God and seek His counsel. Trust God with all your heart. Finally, demonstrate a spirit of gratitude. Be thankful. Like we started off, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. God wants us to be thankful, to rejoice. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Are you handling life well? Are you making good choices? Are you looking at crisis as an opportunity? Are you looking to God when you have a difficult time in your life? Refocus. Get your priorities in order. And find your purpose that He has for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for each person here. Father, we go through things in life that seem to be bad. Help us to see them as an opportunity to draw closer to You. Help us to see them as a turning point, that we would see those difficulties as maybe a good thing, to reroute us, to help us stay the course, whatever it is. Lord, help us to always rejoice and draw close to You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.